Thank you all for your patience this morning as we're running just a few minutes late. I'm going to take this moment to call to order the Academic Research and Student Affairs meeting. Roll call, please.
Chair Arriscada.
Here.
Vice Chair Del Carlo. Vice Chair Del Carlo. Regent Cruz Crawford.
Here, and I see Del Carlo looks frozen on the screen.
Thank you. Regent Goodman?
Here.
Regent McMichael?
Here.
You do have a quorum.
Thank you. Before we begin this meeting, I'd like to do the land acknowledgement. Before beginning, we take a moment to recognize that here in Nevada, we stand on the land of the Washishu, the Washo, Numu, Northern Paiute, Nui, Western Shoshone, and the Nuwu, Southern Paiute. We take a moment to recognize and honor the stewardship that continues today. With this recognition, we state an intention to rightfully include their voice and respect them as the 27 sovereign tribes, tribal nations of Nevada. As we continue, item number one on the ARSA agenda, public comment. Do we have any public comment in Elko?
There is no public comment in Elko this time.
Do we have any public comment in, and I apologize to all, before we continue the public comment, I was remiss not to acknowledge our Pledge of Allegiance. Let's take a moment to recognize this flag. Regent Cruz Crawford, Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
I was very eager to hear from the public, so I apologize to all. Once again, no public comment in Elko. Is there public comment in Las Vegas?
No public comment in Las Vegas.
Is there a public comment this morning in Reno? None seen, none recognized. Let's go to item number two, please. Consent items for possible action. And we have two consent items for possible action. If everyone would agree, we'll take them both as a whole. Is there a motion on the table to, are there any comments and corrections? Hearing none, seeing none. Do I have a motion on for approval?
I'll take the motion. This is Regent Del Carlo, and I've been on since the beginning.
Second.
Thank you, Vice Chair Del Carlo. Thank you, Regent McMichael. Any questions, comments? Seeing none, hearing none. Make a motion for approval. Motion. All in favor, say aye. Aye. All opposed? Nay. All approved. Let's go run down to number three, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Going to run down to number three, item number three, UNLV organizational unit proposal. And Provost Hebe, please continue.
Good morning, Chris Hebe, Executive Vice President and Provost of UNLV. For the record, thank you, Chair Escada, Vice Chair Del Carlo, Regents, and Chancellor, for allowing us the opportunity to present to you the Carestasy Center for Insurance and Risk Management. This is one of the most exciting proposals that I've had the chance to present to you, and I think exemplifies the great work that we all do together. And I just want to very briefly tell you the story of how this has come about, because I think it's something that we all can be proud of. It started about 40 years ago when a young man came to UNLV and got a degree in business and learned about a field that he never thought about for his career and went on to become a leader in that field. Now, four decades later, he wants to give back to the community by supercharging the pipeline for this career and, very importantly, diversifying the pipeline for this career. And so Mr. Greg McKinley, a leader in this field, worked with the Nevada Surplus Lines Foundation, which I don't think probably any of us have ever heard about unless we're in the insurance industry, to essentially create this idea of a center that is going to be supported by a $5 million gift, which is already a check which has been written and cashed by UNLV, to basically provide a stronger and more diverse talent pipeline for this important industry for our state and our country. And so we're very excited to see this proposal. If you had a chance to read the proposal, you'll see how it will empower the pipeline and the university to bring more diverse talent into this field. And the passion of Mr. McKinley is represented in his letter of support, which I hope you had a chance to read. And we really want to thank him for spearheading this effort. He worked with former Dean Brent Hathaway and current Dean Jerry Sanders to bring this to fruition. And as I said, the center is now just waiting your approval because the money is in the bank and the university commitments are made. And the president and I are excited to see this launch. And we're happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Provost Seavey. Are there any questions from the board? Regent O'Carlo?
I just have a comment. Thank you, Chair. I just want to thank you and LV for putting this program together and having it. And it to me, it's thinking outside the box and trying to find things to grow. And this is one of them, because I read in the briefing paper where there's really not much anything west of the, on the western part of the state. So good for doing this, and it's a field that will never go away. So thank you, Provost Evie.
Provost Evie, a few questions for you. Explain how UNLV will recruit the student to enroll in the existing academic minor and support the Lee faculty in proposing a full major that will meet industry needs by hiring and staffing.
Yeah, thank you for that question, Chair Arascata. One of the things about this industry is it's a great career opportunity that most people have never heard about. And so one of the ways that this center will work and already has actually begun our preliminary efforts is to raise the visibility of this career possibility by having events on the campus and potentially even in high schools and bringing in career professionals to talk to current business students about the opportunities that exist in this career and the great life that, as they mentioned in the proposal, a work-life balance that can be available to people who pursue this career. And so we'll greatly raise the visibility of this potential career option to students and I think attract many students into it. Also empower research that will raise the visibility, and the center director is already working actively with our staff and academic affairs to write the proposal for the full major, which we hope to be presenting to you in the not-too-distant future for a fall 2024 enrollment start.
Excellent. In the proposal, there's numerous comments in regards to community and connectivity with the community. What will be the steps taken to better connect with the community and industry partners who will create the experiential learning opportunities for the students?
Yeah, thank you again for that question. We can see that this is already underway, and in the proposal, it's really well represented by the board that's being formed to support the center. And I had the pleasure of going to a meeting of the Nevada Surplus Lines Foundation, which, again, I'd never heard of, where they talked about the $5 million donation, which they've made. And everyone in that room is excited about supporting the center and creating those connections between the business industry and the students at UNLV through paid internships during the summer and mentorship. And everyone who sits on the board of the Carestasy Center will personally commit to that work of trying to work directly with students, either by creating internships, job opportunities for young graduates, and by mentoring students.
Excellent. Last question is, what is the center's process to increase research and development with top-tier academic and practitioner journals and publications?
Yes, thank you again for that question. One of the things that I think we all recognize about great universities is they take the support of the state, great public universities take the support of the state, the students, and the community. And this funds and the additional funds that will be raised, because there's a further commitment to fundraising by all of the board members and support from the industry, will allow them to provide opportunities for faculty to get summer research grants and other kinds of seed funding to empower their research. And those are the kinds of things that take research programs to the next level, because we know that research is something that needs nurturing, and this will allow them the resources to do that further nurturing of research.
And I'm not sure if I overlooked it, but what is the projected student enrollment for the time frame of 3 to 5 years?
We don't have projected student enrollment for the major yet, because that proposal is still to come. But we think this is going to be a very popular option within the Department of Finance. And so I would just, you know, off the top of my head, guess we'd be in the dozens to low hundred students in the major, because the career kind of pathways that are going to be created through this center will be so attractive to students who come into a business major looking at a wide array of possibilities. I think it'll be a very attractive option.
Fantastic. Are there any other questions from anyone sitting on the committee? Are there any from any board members? Seeing none and hearing none, do I have a motion for approval?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Regent McMichael, second by Vice Chair Del Carlo. Questions, comments? Seeing none, hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Provost TV, well done.
Thank you. On behalf of President Whitfield, myself, and Mr. Greg McKinley, and everyone involved in this, we deeply appreciate it, and you'll be proud of what this center will be able to do.
Thank you, sir. Let's go to agenda item number 4, please. The University of Nevada, Reno program proposals for a Master of Public Health and a Doctor of Philosophy in Epidemiology. Provost Thompson.
Thank you. Provost, University of Nevada, Reno. I bring forward for your consideration two graduate degree programs in UNR School of Public Health. As you may remember, the School of Public Health was recently accredited by the Council on Education and Public Health, and this request is a continuation of that accreditation process. The school currently offers both Master's of Public Health and PhD degree programs with emphases in epidemiology. This proposal before you would create MPH and PhD programs in epidemiology. There are no additional resources needed to support the degree programs. The faculty have worked very hard putting together this proposal to create a degree program that better supports the aspirations of the students and leads to a more marketable degree. Epidemiology degrees are in demand in areas ranging from government and societal responses to zoonotic diseases and to working with nonprofits for reducing transmittable diseases in economically disadvantaged communities. I respectfully submit this proposal for your consideration and would be happy to take questions.
Questions by committee? Provost Thompson, a couple questions for you. Thank you for the methodology, but on page 11, of to project the FTEs, how did you come up with that methodology?
Thank you for your question, Regent Arascata. So two ways. We do have the emphases. So the first piece is to move those over into epidemiology degrees. But also looking at the national data from the accrediting body for a school of our size, what percentage of the MPH and PhD programs we see nationally in these degrees. So we are projecting based on national data.
Simple answer. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Any other additional questions? Seeing none, hearing none. Do I have a motion for approval?
I move to approve. This is Regent Goodman.
Thank you, Regent Goodman.
I second Regent Del Carlo.
Thank you, Vice Chair. So first by Regent Goodman, second by Regent Del Carlo. Are there any more additional questions, comments? Seeing none, hearing none. All. Thank you. Sorry, Regent Carballo.
That's okay, Chair Arascata. I did have one question for Provost Thompson. I was wondering if and how these degree programs related to the state public health lab, if they would be working together with them.
Regent Carvalho, thank you for the question. Yes, they will work closely together. The biostatistics and epidemiology groups work with the State Public Health Lab, but also the, I can't remember all the Department of Public Health at the state, in research projects, but also in making sure we are training students that are working in these areas.
Thank you.
Great question. Thank you, Regent DiCarlo. Thank you. Thank you, Regent Carvalho. No other questions, comments? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Let's continue with item number five, with the program proposal for BA in social research analytics. Provost Thompson.
Thank you, Chair Escada and Regents. For the record, Jeff Thompson, Executive Vice President and Provost, University of Nevada, Reno. So I'm bringing forward to you a proposal for consideration for a new degree program that is interdisciplinary in nature in the College of Liberal Arts and the Department of Sociology. And it's a Bachelor of Arts in Social Research Analytics. And I have to make sure I read that carefully. The degree program is how it will be housed in the Sociology Department in the College of Liberal Arts. And it's based on a very long and successful graduate program in social psychology. The bachelor's degree is designed to be interdisciplinary with courses offered in anthropology, communication studies, criminal justice studies, political science, and psychology, in addition to sociology. And the primary motivation behind the degree is to prepare students for well-paying and meaningful careers upon completion that require research analytic skills in social issues. Students who graduate with this degree will possess a repertoire of qualitative and quantitative skills in social science research methods and statistics that prepare them for a variety of careers in the public and private sectors, and of course, graduate school. No additional resources are needed to initiate the program. We have the faculty and staff and all the courses except for three, which we are working through the system to have approval. And I respectfully submit this proposal to create the BA in Social Research Analytics for your consideration and would be happy to take questions.
Questions from committee members? Please, Regent Cruz Crawford.
Good morning, Regent Cruz Crawford, for the record. Hope everybody's having a great day. I just wanted to, just a comment. I love this. I love social research. It's really important that we know as a board that it's really about looking how we interact in societies and how to problem solve so that we better fit and live up to our full potential. I think this is great. I didn't have this when I was going to school, so I got a degree in psychology and mathematics and named myself a social researcher. So, and with that, I have been able to do research across the state to identify why people of color are not teachers and be able to write policy or change the organizations with where we work. And we've graduated about 300 this last school year because of that work. So this is really a stepping stone for balancing some of those inequities. So I love it. I'm full on with this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cruz Crawford. Are there any questions or comments? Regent, I can't see them. I have the light right here in front of me. Perkins, sorry. There's a significant reflection from directly behind
Thank
me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to say, great program, and kind of echo the words that my colleague said. I really appreciate the fact that you list the jobs that are available right now out there for this particular degree program. That's really important that we're not sending students down, you know, the merry trail and having them at the end have student debt and not have a job potential. So I really appreciate that those the ideas of and the different career fields that they that the student that graduates from this program will be able to get.
Thank you.
So thank you.
Thank you, Regent Perkins. Are there any more questions or comments? Hearing none, seeing none. Do I have a motion for approval?
I'll motion.
Second.
First by Cruz Crawford, second by McMichael. Thank you, Regents. I'm just reviewing this. Motion's on the table. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Provost. We're going to move on to number six, item number six, the Nevada State College Program Proposal for Master's in Science and Nursing Leadership. Please.
Good morning, Regents, Chancellor, and Presidents. For the record, I am Vicki Shields. I'm the Provost and Executive Vice President at Nevada State College. Until the end of this month, anyway, I'm retiring at the end of June, and I just wanted to take a moment to thank the Regents and everyone at the System Office for all of our positive engagement over the last 6 years. Thank you very much. Today, I seek approval for the Master's of Science in Nursing Leadership. The Master of Science in Nursing, MSN, a fully online degree proposed by the School of Nursing at Nevada State, offers an innovative curriculum with a leadership focus to prepare working registered nurses for advancement into leadership and managerial positions within the clinical setting. The fully online didactic coursework affords students the opportunity to continue working while completing their degree. This degree is in response to requests by the School of Nursing clinical agencies and stakeholders representing healthcare in Southern Nevada. It also offers a response to some of the best suggestions in the white paper addressing Nevada's nursing workplace shortages by Nevada Health Workforce Center, Research Center at UNR, in preparation for the legislative session. The proposed program is designed to accommodate working registered nurses through flexible start dates, asynchronous online courses, and affordability. The MS is modeled after our very successful RN to BSN online program. The curriculum was designed with input from the School of Nursing's community partners in response to workforce needs, which will ensure that our graduates have the skills and knowledge that they will need for an enhanced quality of life and an elevated, rewarding career as they assume leadership roles in local healthcare organizations. The program employs a cohort model using the carousel model courses that are 7 to 8 weeks in length and offered 6 times per year. Full-time students complete in 12 months and part-time students complete in 24 months. The MSN in Leadership degree pathway offers a unique middle-tier leadership option for practicing registered nurses. The degree pathway has been designed in collaboration with colleagues at UNLV as an intentional bridge to UNLV's Doctor of Nursing Practice. And it is a nurse executive track for students who are not ready to engage in a doctoral degree program, but who would like to advance their career in leadership and or management. There is increased demand for nurses with an advanced education to meet the needs of hospitals, clinics, and other healthcare settings throughout the state, and even the nation as that. According to Hanover Research, concentrations in nursing leadership and administration are the highest demand tracks, with expected high growth in local, regional, and national positions between 2021 and 2031. A 2021 report by the American Association of Colleges of Nursing found that 75% of surveyed MSN students found employment directly after graduation, and 94% found employment within 6 months. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, employment in healthcare administration is projected to grow 32% by 2023, which is higher than most other jobs. This is a grow-your-own strategy for clinics and hospitals in the state of Nevada, as well as a pipeline program to UNLV's doctoral program, which in turn creates more nurse educators for NSHE institutions. It's a great circle of life. Thank you. I'd be happy to entertain any questions or comments.
Questions or comments from committee members? None seen. Regent Carvalho.
Thank you, Chair Escada. Vicki, first of all, congratulations on your retirement.
Thank you.
You've been a wonderful asset to Nevada State, and you will be missed. Moving on to this agenda item, I realize that there are differential fees for the nursing programs at Nevada State, as there are for other institutions. Is there any intention to seek differential fees for this program?
I'm sure that we will need to. That is in this original proposal. Kevin, do you want to answer that question? I thought I was prepared for everything. Sorry.
Good morning. Chair Kevin Butler, Nevada State College. At this time, we're not contemplating it. The templates that we've run and the projections that we made look like this can actually sustain itself because of the weighted student credit hours, assuming the formula continues, and also the fact, just because it's a graduate level course. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. I didn't mean to spring that on you.
Oh, that's okay.
Came to my mind, so thank you.
I have a few questions also.
Okay.
Obviously, nursing school, anything being surrounded by nurses and the quality of healthcare here in the state of Nevada, I might know a little something about it. I don't know why, but I might. But I would like to echo the sentiments of the board. This is a great program, but I do want to get a few confirmations from you all. What is the national certification that we'll be prepared for with this program?
This is the nurse executive certification exam. Now, it's not dependent on this program. Students do not have to sit for the exam. But they will be fully prepared to sit for the exam. So I thought that was really great thinking on the part of our School of Nursing. So we do have 4 faculty members that have this certification, and 3 more that have doctoral level degrees, and which is in better shape than our other graduate programs when we've started them. So they have that certification. Also, as we hire, we'll be looking for people with this expertise for this program. And so, although optional to the students, we would highly encourage them to go ahead and sit for the exam right after finishing the program, not like taking math your senior year and your undergrad, and go ahead and get that exam, that certification. We don't actually offer that. It's not necessary to get this degree completion, but it's a great option afterward.
Excellent. Will the Masters of Science in Nursing graduates be eligible to sit for national certifications? And if so, which ones?
This is a national certification. This is the only one I know about.
Okay.
This is the one they wrote into the proposal. I'm not sure if there's other ones they can. This is all geared towards this ANCC Nurse Executive Certification.
You prefaced by saying there were going to be a certain number of faculty members with some significantly high credentials, very impressive credentials, but will there be a nationally certified, doctorally prepared faculty member overseeing the track?
We have 4 faculty members who have this certification. It's unclear at this point who will actually be directing the program. But I'm sure it'll be one of those faculty members.
Excellent. And then on the proposal, there were some significantly optimistic numbers in regards to enrollment. And I realize that this is an online class. But other than proprietary schools, how many peer institutes throughout the country have an enrollment similar to the one proposed today?
Well, I'll preface that with it's going to start, the program's going to start in January of 2024. And so with a lot of back and forth with the system office, we were contemplating how to figure out what the headcount in FTE was for that first fall. So it looks a little large, as FTEs 41 for the first year and headcount 58, but it does take into account a whole, like, two start classes before the count. So that's why that first year looks a little large. And then it'll even out. In the third year, it's 70 FTE and 109 headcount. Of course, that's a lot of students that are moving through the program. And then in the fifth year, 92 FTE and 148 headcount. We think that I think because we've seen how the RNBSN took off in this model, and we're very confident in this model, that we think these are very reasonable projections.
Thank you, Vicki. I want to echo the sentiments of Regent Carvalho. Thank you for your commitment to the Nevada system of higher education. Thank you for your commitment throughout the entire system and what you've done, what you've brought, and what you've infused into the system. You continue to bring a positive attitude, and we greatly appreciate all you've done for all these years.
Thank you, Chair Arascana.
Are there any other
questions? Can we give her a round of applause, please?
Oh, unquestionably.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well done, Regent Del Carlo. Seeing none, no other questions or comments? Seeing none, hearing none, do I have a motion for approval?
I move to approve, Regent Del Carlo.
Vice Chair Del Carlo, thank you. Seconded by Regent McMichael. No other questions, comments? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Well done, Vicki.
Thank you so much, thank everyone. You.
We're going to continue item with item number 7, College of Southern Nevada Organizational Unit Proposal, Center of Excellence for Advanced Manufacturing. Up on the podium. Thank you much.
Good morning, Chair Scotta, Vice Chair Del Carlo, Chancellor Regents, Presidents, President Sandoval. Thank you again for hosting us. It's always a pleasure to be at UNR. My name is James McCoy. I serve as the Chief Academic Officer and Vice President for Academic Affairs at the College of Southern Nevada, and I'm pleased to bring you a longstanding final item centered around our programming in advanced manufacturing this morning. This proposal is for the new organizational unit recognition for our Center of Excellence in Advanced Manufacturing. Most of the regents on the board today have heard a lot about the CSN activity in the area of advanced manufacturing. No doubt we've brought a lot of curriculum through this committee, through ARSA, and we most recently in the March board meeting brought forward a lease. And so this is the last chapter of our seeking of final approval to operate this Center of Excellence. Just as a reminder, the advanced manufacturing sector in Southern Nevada is it has been taking great speed in terms of an emerging industry sector with tremendous scale. In partnership with the city of Henderson, as you may recall from the March board meeting, we have put together a center of excellence known as the Deborah March Center of Excellence in the city of Henderson. The city of Henderson actually funded this project, $11.5 million worth, to construct a 16,500 or so square foot building that will house CSN's unit in the Center of Excellence for Manufacturing. This is a strategy, of course, to train a workforce that will diversify our region's economy and continue to support sustainable growth. And the city constructed this Deborah March Center of Excellence on city-owned land, as you recall from the March meeting. This land is adjacent to the Haas manufacturing area that is being constructed right now. And, of course, as I mentioned, this particular building will house if approved, the CSN Center of Excellence for Advanced Manufacturing. We can't wait for you to see this building. We'll do a nice ribbon cutting after presumably you approve this unit. But when you walk in this building, it's home to two classrooms and two labs for specialized workforce development training, essentially offering entry-level to advanced training in advanced manufacturing in both automation and CNC machining. The instructional pathways offered include both credit-bearing instruction, courses that lead to the completion of skill certificates, level one, if you will, certificates of achievement, and, of course, an Associate of Applied Science, all curriculum that this committee actually approved just about a year or so ago. The instructional pathways also include just-in-time incumbent worker training on our non-credit operation to provide upskilling for employees that are already in the field that perhaps do not need additional degrees or certificates. As a reminder, all of our certificate programs are centered on industry-recognized credentialing, in this case SACA and NIMS, for those industry certifications. And they're all stackable. And so the student that enters in perhaps through the non-credit space will be able to apply the learning and the outcomes that they've engaged in to the credit-bearing certificates and degrees, again, on both sides of manufacturing, machining, and automation. So with that, Chair Erskott and Regents, we seek your approval to establish the new Center of Excellence for Advanced Manufacturing for CSN, located at the Deborah March Center of Excellence. Stand ready for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. McCoy. Are there any questions from committee members? Seeing none. Any questions from board members? Regent Carvalho.
Thank you, Chair Erskott. Just a comment. This Center of Excellence is a boon to Henderson and very much to Southern Nevada. If I were on this committee, I would be in full support of this. I think it's exciting for Southern Nevada. And congratulations on putting this together and moving forward in the manufacturing world in Southern Nevada. And also, I'd like to just give a shout out to Haas Manufacturing for all of the support that they've given to CSN. So thank you, and to NSHE in general. Thank you.
Thank you, Regent Carvalho.
Thank you very much, Regent Carvalho. The ongoing updates that you all provided have been greatly welcomed, and I want to make this crystal clear. This whole process for this vote has been simplified through the professionalism provided by you all throughout this process. So thank you. And I want to read something that you all stated as the mission statement. It's College of Southern Nevada is dedicated to the prosperity of our entire community, which we'll proudly declare to our mission statement. It's just there's something about the whole process that College of Southern Nevada did throughout, and the relationship you all built with Haas is more than admirable. So I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Chair.
Are there any other questions or comments? Hearing none.
I have a comment, Chair.
I'm sorry, Vice Chair Del Carlo, please.
Thank you, Chair. I also want to echo Regent Carvalho's comments and say what a game changer this model is for us and the community and the workforce development and the next agenda item the same. And this is just a wonderful, fabulous partnership, and it's certainly a model. And I just thank all the parties too for helping grow our workforce in Nevada, because we certainly need it. Thank you.
Thank you, Regent.
Well stated, Regent Del Carlo. Do no other questions, comments? Do I have a motion for approval?
I move to approve. This is Regent Del Carlo.
Thank you, Vice Chair.
Second.
Thank you, Regent Goodman. First by Regent Vice Chair Del Carlo, seconded by Regent Goodman. Seeing none, hearing no other questions or comments, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All in favor or all opposed? Hearing none, motion carries unanimously. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
We're going to move on to item number 8 on this agenda, Great Basin College and University of Nevada, Reno Organizational Unit Proposal for Mining Center of Excellence. Up to the podium. please.
Good morning, Regents. Jake Rivera, Great Basin College Vice President for Student and Academic Affairs, for the record. The mining industry is vital for our way of life and will continue to be in the future. It is true that if it cannot be grown, it must be mined. As you have seen in our narrative, Great Basin College and the University of Nevada, Reno, in collaboration with mining industry representatives across Nevada, are creating a multifaceted partnership focused on workforce expansion and development in the mining industry, also known as the Mining Center of Excellence. So our goals: the Mining Center of Excellence will work with industry to resolve recruitment and training concerns. The Mining Center of Excellence will be a one-stop shop for community engagement and education training support needs located in Elko at the former Nevada Guard Armory building, now called the Mining Center, directly adjacent to the GBC campus. MCE will offer hybrid delivery dual credit certificates that will transfer to the UNR Mackey School of Mines program with a focus on geology, mining, and metallurgy. Those two dual certificates were approved by AAC back in March, and recruitment is underway for the fall semester. MCE will offer a 17 credit hour skill certificate as well as a 33 credit hour certificate of achievement. Industry has already provided 10 scholarships for the certificate. Eventually, we want to offer a hybrid associate degree with a focus on geology, mining, and metallurgy. MCE will offer upskilling courses for the mines as needed. MCE will address current workforce demands and shortfalls. It will serve our rural communities with mining education at all levels, including being a global leader in mining education and research. MCE will be a support for transitional workforce within Nevada. We have already established an advisory council that will consist of mining, industry leaders, GBC personnel, UNR personnel, and various state government departments and agencies. We have now begun active fundraising activities related to supporting building updates and remodeling and programming associated with the new location. So some may ask, isn't this what you already do? Separately, as institutions, we have limitations to the types of training and education we're able to provide. Together, we can cross the spectrum of industry workforce demands and leverage the educational specialization of both institutions. President Sandoval and President Hellens have signed an MOU outlining our partnership. GBC and UNR request approval to establish the Mining Center of Excellence to be housed in the GBC's Mining Center. I, along with GBC's Executive Director of Mining Center of Excellence and Workforce Development, Dr. Sam Spearing, as well as my colleagues from UNR, Provost Thompson, are happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll start off with Regent Goodman.
Thank you so much. I've heard so much about this program, and I just wanted to say how wonderful it is to have this program be internationally recognized, that people from all over the world know that it's there. I just think it's wonderful, and it's a great model for collaboration.
Thank you.
Regent Cruz Crawford.
I second that. I'm really excited about this program. I actually got to tour the facility, which was really neat in Elko. Just being a National Guard member, too, it's really nice that we could share that unused property with you. So it's going to be a great building.
Regent Carvalho.
Thank you, Chair Escada. More of a comment. I think it's interesting that this center will serve kind of a full spectrum of educational needs in the state of Nevada, from dual credit high school, which is huge because this is part of our workforce, and this starts the path for these students to well-paid careers, and hopefully they'll have the opportunity to continue their education
within our ENCHI institutions. So I again, would be in full support of this, and thank you for bringing this forward, and thank you for the partnership between GBC and UNR for this really important aspect to the state of Nevada. Thank you.
Agree. Any other questions, comments? Do I have a motion for approval?
I move to approve. This is Regent Del Carlo.
Second.
Thank you, Vice Chair Del Carlo. Seconded by Regent McMichael. Any additional questions, comments? Seeing none, hearing none. All in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Rivera.
Thank you.
We're going to move on to item number 10 on the Academic Research and Student Affairs Committee meeting today. Item number 20, the 2021-2022 Sponsored Funding Report. And I apologize because I just went right past number 9. The Western Nevada College Program Proposal for Mechatronics and Electronics Technology. Please.
Well, good morning, Chair Escada, Regents, and Presidents. For the record, my name is Dana Ryan, Vice President of Academic and Student Affairs at Western Nevada College. I'm respectfully presenting to you a new Associate of Applied Science degree in Mechatronics and Electronics Technology for your consideration. This is the culminating degree in the Advanced Manufacturing Pathway, which has undergone a comprehensive redesign to better align with high school CTE programs and employer needs, as well as streamlining the path to completion for students. This updated degree combines two existing degrees, one in automation and the other in mechatronics, into a single degree that provides a solid foundation in advanced manufacturing skills, but allows students to choose a focused pathway through electronics or through mechatronics based on their interests or work requirements. As you likely know, advanced manufacturing jobs continue to increase across the nation, across Nevada, and particularly in the Western Nevada region that WNC serves. In the last 6 months alone, the Economic Development Authority of Western Nevada, EDON, reported that 9 new manufacturing companies have either relocated to or expanded in the region. This includes the announcement of Tesla's intent to build 2 new production facilities in the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center. Together, these companies are predicted to add over 1,000 jobs, possibly closer to 4,000, in a career field where the pipeline of skilled talent is already narrow. WNC has worked closely with employers across the industry, including those in the emerging battery recycling space, to update course curriculum, identify useful industry certifications, provide various points of entry, and devise more flexible delivery options to increase access. The resulting stackable skills certificates, certificates of achievement, and with your approval, this Associate of Applied Science, support a variety of manufacturing occupations at each level, providing job seekers and incumbent workers the incentive of promotion and advancement to continue their educational journey. I appreciate the support from our colleagues at TMCC's Applied Technology Center, as well as my colleagues on the ENCHI Academic Affairs Council, and I hope that you also will see value in this for our students and community. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Greatly appreciate it. Are there any questions from board members? And from the committee members? I just have a few questions. Down on page 7, item number J, just curious about the FTEs and the proposal for first semester, third, fifth. Just came up, how you came up with those numbers for those potential enrollments?
So we are currently serving about 15 to 20 students per semester. So we have to finish those students on their pathway. So I'm hoping that we can start with 10 semesters in the fall and work ourselves up to 40 students per semester by the fifth year. We are actively working with employers to better understand our program so that they understand the opportunities not only for upskilling, but for us to help them find new employees in their pipeline.
Excellent. If I remember correctly, it's been stated in the proposal that there's plenty of staff already in line for the influx of students. Is that correct?
Correct.
Excellent. Thank you. Are there any additional questions or comments? Seeing none, hearing none. Do I have a motion for approval?
Motion to approve.
Thank you, Regent McMichael.
Second.
Thank you, Regent Goodman. First by Regent McMichael, second by Regent Goodman. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now let's go to item number 10. So the 2021-2022 sponsored funding report.
Yeah, you gave me a little start there, Chair. So my name is Marcy Jackson. I'm the director of the System Sponsored Programs in EBSCOR office, and I'm here to give you the highlights of the sponsored funding report that is in your materials. So these are self-reported awards that our institutions have received. So some of you are newer to the board. You may be familiar with the term grants management from nonprofit or government work that you have done. Here in higher education, we use the term sponsored programs for the extramural funding that is brought in for research, other scholarly activities, as well as institutional support and student services. So each of the campuses has their own grants office. It may vary from a one-person office in our smaller institutions that does everything, or our larger institutions can have 20 to 30 staff who have research administrators, grant accountants, proposal development specialists. It all depends on the institution. At the ENSHE System Sponsored Programs office, we are funded by some of the major federal agencies to do collaborative projects that are statewide. So we work with specialized funding like the Established Program to Stimulate Competitive Research, or EBSCOR, from the National Science Foundation and from NASA. We also work with the internal departments at ENSHE for their sponsor programs, including the Nevada Alliance for Youth Apprenticeships and the Fostering Youth Success that you're all aware of. And so part of what we do is the statewide projects. Some of our other institutions are looking at just specific programs within their campuses or with other partners. So this report, again, is the self-reported information from our institutions. We always want to highlight how what we're doing is helping with the ENSHE strategic goals. And so when you think about grants and contracts, you might first think of research, and that is, of course, a very important part of the research or the funded dollars that we bring in. We also, however, have dollars that come in that help with access and closing the achievement gap, which help with preparatory services for our low-income and first-generation students. We have money that comes in for tutoring and counseling that helps with the success initiative. And, of course, we have the workforce programs that are a big focus for us. So this slide shows the awards that have come in the last 5 years. And we were steadily increasing our awards, and then the pandemic hit. So the orange part of the bar shows that the money that was specific to COVID-19 pandemic response funding that was received by our institutions. Now, there were a lot of different funding mechanisms that came through during that time. You may have heard of CARES or HERF or ARP. Also, there was some funding that was specific to research around the pandemic response. So we've grouped them all into one, and you can see that our spike there was in 2021, and the numbers are going down. We would expect our numbers to even out a little bit as that sort of thing wanes, just like it did when we had ARA funding during the Great Recession. So there was actually a huge decrease of 54% of our overall funding in fiscal year 22. However, that was mostly based on the pandemic response funds waning. And this slide shows just a few, just a highlight of the pandemic response funds each of our institutions received in fiscal year 22. And that varies greatly by the size of the institution, what sort of population of students they have, their eligibility for competitive grants, and whether their funds were sponsored programs or managed by their controller's office. And so I expect next year that this slide will be very, very minimal. So talking about the funding distributions of our institutions receive various funding based upon their missions. We have our research institutions that do a lot of proposals and receive a lot of grants and contracts, and our smaller institutions receive lower amounts of funding. But it's important to note that we have received 49% of the overall $356 million we received in sponsor programs was for direct federal funding, which shows that we are being competitive. We're being able to bring in money from the federal government, not only from our local sponsors. And research was $164 million of that $356. Now, if you look at last year's report, you will see that there was a large decrease in our number of awards. We had $111 million less in institutional support from the pandemic response funding, as well as $116 million less in scholarships that had come to us from this pandemic response funding. Now, each of these following slides, you'll see a lot of numbers, and we talk about the awards that come in based upon the standard categories within the research administration or the sponsor programs for higher education. So those are research, public service, student services, scholarships, instruction, other, and public service. So these are, again, self-reported numbers that come in from the institutions. Your Appendix A will show you the details of each of the institutions, the awards they received, and their expenditures of the year. And Appendix E shows you their five-year trends. So we include all awards here. We don't focus just on research or the expenditures because we want to be inclusive of all of our organizations. So while you look at the numbers, I'm going to give you some of the highlights of what these awards are doing at our institutions. So at UNLV, they received from the National Science Foundation an award for strengthening the skill and will to succeed in STEM for a great project. You've also heard previously that Vice President Adam Garcia received funds from the U.S. Department of Justice for the Regional De-Escalation Training Center. UNLV also received funding from the National Nuclear Security Administration for $1 million for a Nuclear Technology and Science Consortium. And UNLV continues their work towards equity by receiving funds from the National Institutes of Health for a maternal and child health and nutrition intervention program, as well as from Immunize Nevada for vaccine health equity initiatives. At UNR, the Nevada Small Hospital Improvement Program, based at the Nevada State Office of Rural Health with the UNR School of Medicine, they received funding from the Health Resources and Services Administration to administer and send supplies to 13 of our rural hospitals to increase testing around the pandemic response and to expand the range of mitigation efforts there. They also received two large grants from the U.S. Department of Energy, and funding was received from the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection to develop a scientific modeling framework prototype for improved fuels mapping. At DRI, they partnered with Nevada State College and the Gwynn Center for Policy Priorities to study the growing threat of extreme heat for people who work outdoors. And so they looked at the heat at the three hottest cities, including Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and Phoenix. And that study will help inform findings for outdoor workers, their employers, and policymakers throughout the Southwest. DRI also received $2 million in congressionally directed spending towards studying climate change and intervention efforts to mitigate those impacts. And they're very involved in the $20 million NSF EBSCOR Harnessing the Data Revolution for Fire Science project that you heard about last June, ARSA meeting, with NSHE as the prime, UNLV and UNR as our research leads, and all of our institutions involved through our scholarships and workforce development programs. DRI also received a five-year sole source contract with the Department of Energy's Nevada National Security Site, which involves all of the research divisions at DRI. Nevada State received funding for their school-based mental health award, which included new positions, including a director. And so they're being able to go out and do school-based health courses, and this helps pay for the tuition for these courses. And they've also done outreach in the local schools, letting people know about this as a career path. I'm going to use one of our big acronyms that you'll hear a couple times after this, the IDEA Network of Biomedical Research Excellence, which fund is an award that actually UNR receives from the National Institutes of Health, and then they sub-award to several of our institutions as partners in that project. So Nevada State College works with them. They had 16 students who attended a summer research program, and 14 of those students were actually self-selected as minority students. They've had 8 faculty members working on that, with 24 students in the laboratory settings doing experiments. And they had several of those students present their results at the NSC STEM Symposium. NSC also has the Nevada Institute for Education Recruitment and Retention Program that has 14 fellows that are working with UNLV and UNR fellows in community engagement projects. At CSN, they receive money from the NASA Space Grant Federal Pass-Through Funding for a project around hydraulic tracers for particle transport in the acrid environment of Southern Nevada, which included 6 student researchers. They're also entering their final year of the $1 million four-year project from the Nevada Office of Science, Technology, and Innovation, Innovation and Impact Funding for a $200,000 final project or capstone project titled Pharmaceuticals and Plasticizers in Surface Waters of Nevada. This project has been shown on the local media. It involves 5 faculty members and 20 students in the research phase of the 8-month project. Overall, they've had 193 students, 13 principal investigators, and 9 additional faculty members who've been involved in this grant in the past 3 years. Great Basin College has the ESSER II Incentivizing Pathways to Teaching funding that they received from the Nevada Department of Education, which has afforded students the opportunity to complete their education at no additional cost into teacher preparation programs. And this allows them to get a Nevada education license in early childhood education, elementary, secondary, or special education. They've also used the Perkins Competitive Funding to help the mission of their Health Sciences and Human Services Department to provide superior career-relevant courses and programs that are responsive to the individual and professional aspirations of students living and working in rural Nevada. And they used most of their pandemic response funding to manage the personnel costs that were affected by the state budget cuts, but they also were able to increase their technology for online courses and access to services. They had their long-term grants director, Jeannie Bailey, retired during fiscal year 22, and that position was vacant for 4 months, which was a little bit of a struggle during that period, but they've been able to replace that position. Truckee Meadows Community College partnered with ENSHE, the Washoe County School District, the Community Health Alliance, and the Reno Orthopedic Clinic to receive money from the Governor's Office of Science, Innovation, and Technology to create a new program that allowed students who are still in high school to receive their certified nursing assistant certificate before graduating without any cost to those students, so they can move straight into a job. TMCC also has an Embry sub-award from UNR, which aims to increase the low-income first-generation and underrepresented minority graduates who are working towards biomedical careers. And that included some summer bridge programs with math application skills and hands-on laboratory experience. And they used their pandemic response funding to help students who dropped out during the pandemic or also those that were going from high school into college, and they used money from the Project Sandy funding to help with displaced workers as well as emergency financial aid. And at WNC, they used their Project Sandy funding to implement and complete 3 of the manufacturing technology training program cohorts and 3 of the Metatronics program training cohorts that you just heard about with Tesla, which included 43 students. They had also Perkins funding that helped updated their welding and manufacturing equipment, as well as adding new pieces for the Fallon campus for students to learn new skills while they're in class. And through their NASA space grant funding, they were able to launch another high-altitude balloon, and they rebuilt their augmented reality sandbox, which is used in outreach and geoscience classes. And next time you're at WNC, I am sure that Dr. Kortemeyer would love to show you the sandbox. So those are just a few of the things that we do with this extramural or sponsor program's money. This slide talks about the interinstitutional collaborations. We talked about a few of those throughout the program. We have the EMBRE program that UNR subawards out to our institutions, and of course with the NSHE sponsored programs and EBSCOR office, that's the function of our office to do those statewide collaborations, which is why our number of those collaborations is so high. But overall, there were 128 intra-institutional collaborations for $15.8 million, which is an increase from fiscal year 21. And then we had actually fewer proposals that were submitted in fiscal year 22, but there was an increase of the number of awards that we received. We received money from the state for state program match, which is money that goes to match the federal awards. We would not receive the federal awards without this funding. And that money goes to match the NSF EBSCOR, the NASA EBSCOR, the Department of Education Gear Up Grants, the NASA Space Grant, and the EBSCOR infrastructure at the NSHE office. So we use that money to help move those projects along. There are some opportunities where we have competitive applications that go out for SEA grants, scholarships, and fellowships. So the amount that each of the institution receives changes each year based upon how many proposals they submit for that type of funding and who is selected for that funding based on those applications. So highlight, we got in $356 million in sponsor programs this year, in fiscal year 22, and 49.4% of that was COVID pandemic response funding. I want to thank each of the institutions for their hard work pulling these numbers together. It takes a while to do. We have the great Workday team who has put together the reports for us to run, but it does take some manipulating to get it all together. I also want to thank Mark Cahill in our office for helping making sure that those reports are tested before they go out. And thank you to Tarina in Academic and Student Affairs for always being my second set of eyes on this report and helping making this report accessible. And to Jose for giving me the layout of this presentation, the PowerPoint this year. It's a much cleaner look than we've had in the past. So thank you, Jose. Are there any questions?
Questions from committee members? None heard? Regent Carvalho?
I just have a comment. Whoop. Comment?
Please, Regent
Thank
Carvalho.
You. I just want to say how wonderful, when I heard you say 128, I think it was joint through our institutions doing these grants together and projects together. I just think it really emphasizes the strength of having a system where we're not competing with each other, we're cooperating and collaborating with each other. And I just wanted to say thank you for that. And you're a busy lady. There's a lot of grants, and I'm glad we're out getting every penny we can because it's there to get. Thank you.
All of our sponsor programs offices and grants offices work very hard, and it, also with our project directors and principal investigators who manage those programs.
Thank you. Regent Carvalho.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Marcy, for this this in-depth presentation. I had two questions. One, there are, in my recollection, and maybe I'm wrong on this, there have been times where ENCHI has received grants. Where do we see those in this presentation? Or maybe they're outside of this presentation. I don't know. So ENCHI grants. And then also HSI and MSI grants that our institutions receive, are they part of this as well?
This includes all of the grants the institutions receive, those that are HSI-specific or MSI-specific. We have not broken those out. If you'd like to see that next year, we can highlight that. For ENCHI system administration, they've usually liked for us to concentrate on the institutions, but if you look at Appendix A, in item number, Table 10, that shows what our ENCHI SPO EBSCOR office has received in. And so that does include the NSF and the NASA space grant, the GEAR UP, as well as all of the money that's come in through the departments, like Strong Start to Finish and ECMC, all of those things for the co-requisite and that sort of stuff.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Regent Carballo. Question for you. One of the slides that you had earlier, other than the anomaly of 2021, where there are significant COVID finances that are attached to it, the EBSCOR amount that's been allocated to the system continues to rise on a yearly basis. As shown in Figure 1, from 2018, 19, 20, and let's just jump up to 22. Is there anything that you attribute that to with the system and the leadership from each campus?
Yeah, these are definitely all sponsored programs. These are not EBSCOR specific. So one of the things that really helped in 2021 is that UNR had a large increase in their public service and scholarships and other in 2021 that was not pandemic specific. So that was our largest increase in that year. Obviously, our R1 institutions are very much focused on bringing in more funding and continuing their work as the R1.
Excellent. Are there any questions or comments?
Mr. Chair?
I heard someone.
Over here.
I honestly can't see a thing over there.
The Chancellor.
Thank you. Mr. Akiyag, please continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dale Akiyaga, for the record. I just want to say, I want to amplify something that Regent Del Carlo said about the what you see in this data about the collaboration between the institutions. And I want to underscore that by giving a shout out to Marcy and her team. So I have in this last year met many wonderful people in the system. And I will say that the researchers who do this work, the PIs and the sponsored projects folks who support them, are really sort of unsung heroes in what we do as a system. Our metrics are not even good at tracking the impact that these hundreds of millions of dollars have in as compared to the way we so carefully track metrics about student success. And so thanks to President Acharya, during the strategic planning process led by Regent Carvalho, we've added some progress metrics that the board will be able to look at in future. But I will say, as the institutions move more and more into this world of research and more sponsored projects, I think it would be good for this board to think about how you engage with that work and how you tell that story. It does impact the quality of our education delivered on the other side of the house because we attract the talent who work on these grants. And I just want to give a shout out to Marcy and her team. This whole function is for me a little bit, if you're a Harry Potter fan, it's like the room of requirement. Like, I don't know what's in that hallway, but whenever I go in there, I get exactly what I need. And so Marcy was actually one of the first people that I met in the time between my appointment as chancellor and before I actually took this office. We were given an opportunity from the governor's office to work on a National Science Foundation grant. And so in a panic, I called her and the institutions together. And we're now moving forward to the second round in that project. And it is a huge grant. And it is really down to that sort of what goes on behind that room of requirement door. So I just want to thank Marcy and all of the researchers and encourage the body to think about ways you tell this story better. So thank you, Mercy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Arteaga. Let's move on. Marcy, very well done, like always.
Thank you.
We're going to move on to item number 11, new business. Anybody have comments, questions, suggestions, requests for upcoming business or future agenda items? Of course, for new business items, we'll continue to receive the legislative updates and the finalization of the legislative updates. I think those are imperative for the continued projected classes, students, faculty, staff, finances, everything in regards to academic research and student affairs. We need to get the assurance that there's going to be the positive ascension of the academics and what's going to be provided on each campus and the attractability of INSHE itself. Anything else? Let's move on to public comment. Is there public comment in Elko?
No public comment in Elko.
Is there public comment in Las Vegas?
There is no public comment in Las Vegas.
Seeing none and hearing none in Reno, we are going to adjourn Academic Research Student Affairs at 10:20.